We are joined by Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. He is our attorney, our lawyer, our barrister extraordinaire. And he's got an extraordinary three and out for you. We're going to call this one, though, three and out plus one. And we're going to start with the... Well, Jeff, tell me about what you were saying off the air. You are a man sitting pretty, not stocks, although you could look at it that way, baseball cards that have suddenly skyrocketed in value because people are sitting home. They got no games to watch. They've decided they want it, well, you, as you put it, get nostalgic, right?
Yeah, there's a Wall Street Journal article that came out over this weekend about how the there's apparently a nostalgia for late for 80s and 90s baseball cards all of a sudden. I primarily collect football cards, but I have a lot of baseball cards from the primarily from the 80s and early 90s, and a lot of them they just haven't been very valuable. If you know anything about that era of cards, they were overproduced, and as a result, you know, supply and demand, there's oversupply, and there just doesn't have the demand. Well, all of a sudden now that's changed, and there's some, you know, particular players. Ken Griffey Jr. is one of them. Frank Thomas, some of these guys that, you know, were that played and played clean, I should add. That's another thing that's depressed the market for some of those cards, is you got guys that juiced, took steroids and things, so that diminishes their value. You know, but you get guys like Kirby Puckett, Cal Ripken Jr., Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas, Greg Maddux, some of these guys. And those cards they've maintained their value, but now with this newfound demand, they've gone up. For example, there's a set from 1990 called the Leaf set, and the Frank Thomas in there. And I have this set. I got it when I was a teenager, and that the Thomas has gone up from $120 to $400 in terms of what it's trading for. So it's just kind of crazy. The demand all of a sudden, people are sitting around bored, because they can't go anywhere. They can't shop anywhere up until recently. So they hop on eBay or Craigslist or whatever and start shopping around for the old baseball cards. And it's driving the value of some of these old, what used to be worthless pieces of cardboard into the range where they're worth something.
So you're sitting on a little nest egg. Well, and the thing is,
that's the question, the dilemma. And I was talking with Jennifer, my wife, yesterday, and I said, well, now are they going to hold in value, or is this a temporary spike, and do I unload them? So it's just like playing the stock market.
What are you leaning toward, holding or unloading?
I'd probably unload some and hold others for a little bit longer to see if they hold their value. I've got a client of mine that does a lot of he collects, you know, sells memorabilia. That's his story. Ryan Marshall at AME Sports, and so he's kind of my guru. So I go to him. So he and I are chatting about what the best strategy is to what to do with them.
Well, that's sound though. I mean, you find out. You basically put your foot in the water, see what happens. All right, we're gonna switch over now to our three and out. Item number one is very intriguing.
Yeah, item number one. We got news from the NFL. So there was a lot of chatter in the offseason about not enough minority coaches and general managers hired. They're really, other than Ron Rivera switching from Carolina to Washington, there really weren't a lot of minority coaches hired this offseason. And so there's been a proposal floated to reward teams with an additional draft pick for hiring a minority coach. And there has been a lot of criticism about this idea, that saying, hey, yes, there's an issue with the number of minority coaches, number of minorities being interviewed for coaching and GM positions, but this is the wrong way to go about it. I tend to agree with that
sentiment. I agree with it, absolutely. So it's insulting.
I think they'll have to go back to the drawing board. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think it's almost like an affirmative action program. And it dilutes the status of when you do hire a minority coach. Did you do it to get an extra draft pick? And we've seen there's been a number of excellent coaches and general managers, minorities in the NFL. We've got,
sounded like the ice cream truck was coming by.
Yeah, I know. Lovie Smith and Mike Tomlin. Yeah. And, you know, there's a number of excellent coaches. And there's going to continue to be. And I think that I think the Rooney Rule as it is fine. I don't think you should be changing the rules on this because of one off season where it could be just an anomaly.
I agree with that. All right. Item two.
Item two. So where there's a lot of talk about baseball coming back.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball coming back in some form, and lots of changes, you know, both leagues having a designated hitter. But there's been a pushback. The owners are trying to cut or reduce the player salaries for this season based on the loss in revenue they're going to experience. And the players, some players are saying, we're not going to play for anything less than our full salary. So, I mean, my personal opinion about this is, you know, baseball has a wonderful tendency to shoot itself in the foot. And here we're sitting here with all these people unemployed and business owners losing their businesses, filing bankruptcy. And we've got millionaires and billionaires arguing over, I'm not taking a pay cut. Yes, you are.
I honestly don't think there's going to be a baseball season because the owners cannot rectify this. I said it last week. The only way it could happen is if the owners agree now that when the current CBA collective bargaining agreement is up, they basically decide what's going to be in it now and make concessions for the players. Because if I was a player, mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's not being prorated. They want to give them a 50-50 split of a much reduced amount of money. It's not worth it
right.
for these guys to right. risk getting sick. So I'm not right. on board with that at all, Jeff. Right.
Baseball never just seems to get their act together. Yeah. Unlike, you know, the NFL is just, you know, the NFL is going to go and do their thing and play in, you know, with artificial crowd noise and empty stadiums because they get all their revenue from, you know, the TV contracts and sponsorships. So they don't have to have fans sitting in the stadiums to even do this.
And so
they aren't worried about losing revenue.
Well, here's the question I haven't seen answered yet. Is let's say the Twins, is it the revenue all pooled together, or is it the revenue the Twins are going to bring in, which is much, much reduced than what the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Dodgers are going to be pulling in, and Chicago teams, because they don't have anywhere near the TV deals or radio deals these
right.
big market teams have. And that hasn't been made clear. If it has, I haven't seen it.
I haven't either. And that's a very good question, Bob, because you're right. Some teams are going to be less affected by this than others.
Yeah,
it's going to hurt teams like the Twins that are already at a disadvantage because these teams are running around without salary caps. So the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs can just spend. And the Twins don't have that luxury.
No. But let's move on from this to item three.
Item three, also in baseball, there's some additional some additional guidelines that might be had to adhere to, assuming they do have a season. And I don't know how they're going to pull this one off, that baseball's return may include no spitting, no tobacco, and no sunflower seeds.
Well, you don't want to be putting stuff out of your body, bodily fluids.
Yes.
That's not good.
Yes, they are going to. I get.
They have to play with. They'll have to play with masks on and maybe a shield too. Maybe a diving bell. They can do that. Or
it could be like, you know, that maybe what they do. You know, when I was a kid, I was 9 years old. I broke my nose playing in beginning Little League baseball. So my first year, I had to wear a helmet in the field with a face shield on it. Maybe they're all going to have to do that as kind of their PPE for for playing.
Jeff, I don't think it's such a bad idea, quite frankly. All right, well, Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much. The BS Show will take a quick break. We will be right back.